Let's look into our Bibles. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. At the communion service, our desire is to examine ourselves, and we'd like to look at one special area where the Israelites of the Old Testament had problems. We find that as they left the land of Egypt and headed toward the land of Canaan, the testimony is in Hebrews chapter 3 that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. And as we desire in our lives, as well as this evening, to enter into a new and deeper fellowship with Jesus Christ, we see that unbelief is a hindrance. And so the author to the book of Hebrews warns against that danger and then says, let us therefore fear lest we have the same problem of not being able to enter into God's rest of faith, that fullness of fellowship with Him day by day because of unbelief, because of a failure to learn to trust God. And so he warns us about that. And then lest anyone should say, well, that was just for them. He says, after they were in the land, once again the promise was given. If today, after all this time, you'll hear my voice, harden not your heart. And so he says, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And so God's people, those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, have a rest of faith that is for them, that is for us. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, it is for you. And so he says, this is the provision that God has made for us, a rest of faith into which we are to enter. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, in chapter 4 and verse 9. And then in verses 11 through 16, he gives us three things that we are to do if we are to learn to trust God and enter into that rest of faith, of fellowship with Him. And so as we read Hebrews 4, verses 11 through 16, see if you can pick out of the portion what these three things are that we are commanded to do in order to learn to trust God. Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would bless this meditation to our hearts in preparing us for the table of the Lord, that we might indeed during this hour enter into a depth of communion with our Savior that will be strengthening to us and pleasing to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Learning to trust God, first of all, requires labor. We are told here, labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, labor is diligence or concentrated effort, and we know how to do that. You pick up a good book and you begin reading and it gets later and later and you don't want to lay it down, and before you know it, it's 1 o'clock and you say, I just had to finish it. You were willing to give yourself to it because of the desires you had. And so this is what it's talking about here. Labor to enter into that rest. Be willing to give yourself to it because of the desires that you have Others operate on the other end of the clock, and they like to get up early in the morning. And so at 4 o'clock in the morning, they're out in the boat fishing even before it gets light, because they like to get there while the fish are biting. And they know what it is to give themselves to a task that they want to accomplish. And so we know how to do that. In fact, one evening, about 10 o'clock at night, it was quite cold, and I was walking over the bridge there at Pearl Street, and as I looked down into the darkness of the cold night, I noticed some figures down there, and here there were about a dozen men in waders fishing in the Grand River at 10 o'clock at night in the cold and the darkness. And I said, you know, when we really want something, we know how to give ourselves to it, don't we? We know how to commit ourselves. We know what diligence is. And so there are many ways in which we do that. And so to learn to trust God, we're told here that we are to labor to give ourselves to it. But you say, doesn't the Bible say that faith is the gift of God? And that's true. Faith is the gift of God. But so is air. Nevertheless, you have to breathe it. And so is bread, but you have to eat it. And so is water, but you have to drink it. And faith is a gift of God. And yet he says here, labor to enter into that rest of learning to trust God. Now, this effort is to be put forth in two areas. And we are told here what those two areas are. In verse 12, we are told the first area in which we put forth this effort is in the Word of God. Concentrated effort in meditating on the Word of God. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful. It is energetic and efficient. It discerns between the soul and the spirit. In other words, the Word of God, as illuminated to our hearts by the Spirit of God, is able to divide between that which is soulish and that which is spiritual. And that's what we need. The Word of God enables us to see life as God sees it. Now, that's the problem that the Israelites had. As they came out of Egypt and went toward the Promised Land, they got near the land and they sent out some spies and they got a report back. And their concept of the Promised Land was giants and walls up to heaven. And so if you were to ask them, that Promised Land that God has talked about, what is it like? They would say it is giants and walls up to heaven. But what did God call it? What did God say that land was? God said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. They had the wrong concept of God's promises. Now, that's what the Word of God does for us. It helps us to see life as God sees it. This past week was a very busy week, and as I was energetically attempting to accomplish everything that needed to be accomplished and thinking of the next coming weeks and all that needed to be done, trying to diligently organize my time and accomplish my goals, as I was going through a parking lot, somebody backed into me, and nobody was hurt, but the new crinkle on the side of my car reminded me that first I'd have to wait for the police to come for a police report, then I'd have to go and get an estimate, and then I would have to go and make arrangements for it to be fixed. And then I'd be without the car for a while, and then I would have to go and pick it up again. And I thought, oh, no. I thought I had my schedule planned out, so I was going to accomplish my goals, and here, all this loss of time. And as I was going through that tale of woe, Norma said to me, has God died? And I realized I was seeing it from the wrong perspective. I was looking at it from the loss of my time. And all the time I was going to lose. God was looking at it from all the grace I was going to get. And when I started thinking of all the grace that I'm going to get, then I started getting happy about it. And so the Word of God helps us to see life as God sees it. And so it's so important, if we're going to learn to trust God, that we meditate on the Scriptures. And so the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it divides between the soul and the spirit. And that needs to be our concentrated effort, to meditate on the Word of God. And then also, our concentrated effort has to be to develop our awareness of the presence of God. Verse 13, there is no creature that is not manifest in His sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him. You know, most of our problems are from a failure to realize that God sees everything and that God is present. The fear of the Lord is the constant awareness that God is watching and weighing every one of my thoughts, words, actions, and attitudes. And so to learn to trust God requires concentrated effort, meditating on the Word of God, and becoming aware of the presence of God. And so we are to labor. Secondly, we are told that we are to hold fast. Verse 14, let us hold fast our profession. Now, this speaks of commitment. Commitment, first of all, to God's provision in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In this was manifest the love of God, that He sent His Son to die for our sins. And so God made this provision, and we are to hold fast then to that which He has provided for us in Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus not only is the high priest, He is the sacrifice, He is the offering. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that's the substance of to which we are to hold fast. But we are to hold fast here to our profession. What is our profession then? Our profession is that we came to the place one day where we realized that our own righteousness was not only not sufficient, it was not existent. We had nothing in which to confide, nothing in which to trust, and that Jesus Christ was our only hope of righteousness. And so we cried out to Him that He would forgive us and save us. And we found out then that Jesus Christ was actually everything to us. And we sing the song, you know, Jesus Christ has made to me all I need. And so salvation is coming to the place of realizing that we are bankrupt and we have nothing. Not only to save ourselves, but also to keep ourselves. We have nothing. And so He is our all. If we have Jesus Christ, we have everything. If we don't have Jesus Christ, we have nothing. He is our all. And so our profession is that He is everything. And that's what we are to hold fast to, our profession that He is everything. But when we make that profession, God then begins to test us. And He says, just want to make sure you know what you're saying here. And He begins to take some things from us. And as He begins to take from us, perhaps some of our possessions, perhaps some of our friends, perhaps some of our money, perhaps some of our health, we begin to cry out, God, what are You doing? And God says, I thought You said that Jesus Christ was all you needed. And we find out that what we meant was we needed Jesus plus the microwave, plus the money, plus the friends. And He tests that profession. And we're told here, hold fast your profession. And that's how you learn to really trust God. And so we hold fast. We labor and we hold fast. And the third thing we are told to do is we are to pray. We are to come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly unto His throne. And we are to come boldly for two reasons. First of all, for mercy. Mercy because we have sinned. Our sin that needs forgiveness of God. And sometimes our sin that we need to forgive ourselves of as well. And so we come to get mercy from Him. We are promised that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we come for mercy. And we come also then for grace. God's power for deliverance. Grace in time of need. Now, grace is somewhat like the manna in the desert. They had to get it every day. If they got extra that they thought they would save for the next day, it spoiled on them. They had to get it every day. And we're told in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 6, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, God gives grace for every day. Enough for that day. He doesn't give you grace for tomorrow. That's why it's so disastrous to worry about tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean that we ought not to plan. But to worry about tomorrow is disastrous because there's no grace for tomorrow. The grace is for today. And so we come to get mercy for our sins and grace to be able to overcome. And we're warned also in the book of Hebrews that if we refuse His grace, that we have no strength of our own. And if we attempt in our own strength, we will most certainly fall. Just as the Israelites fell as they attempted to enter the land on their own strength. And so we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. We are to pray if we are to learn to trust God. And we learned in prayer meeting Wednesday night, we studied Psalm 5. And David there says that early in the morning will I seek thee. And so we come and we get our grace from God early in the morning. And it's important to get the grace in the morning so that you don't need the mercy in the evening. Now, we always need the mercy. But the more grace you get in the morning, the less mercy you need in the evening. Because it's the grace of God that strengthens us to walk in obedience to Him. And so these are the ways in which we learn to trust God. We learn to trust Him by laboring in the Word, laboring in drawing near to Him through the Word and realizing His presence. We draw near to Him by holding fast that profession of faith that He is our all. And also we learn to trust Him by prayer, by coming boldly. And so as we come to the table of the Lord this evening, we want to remind ourselves that we are commanded to examine ourselves, to see, first of all, if we be in the faith. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you've been born again? Secondly, are we walking in obedience? Is there an area of unbelief that is displeasing to God, an area where we need to learn to trust Him? Are we holding fast our profession of faith? And then coming boldly before the throne of grace, and then coming boldly also with godly reverence into His presence to the table of the Lord.